From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Overlooking historic Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, live from NPR Studios, this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. News, information, game show, nostalgia. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Mike Pesca. It's Thursday, June 5th, 2008. And Rachel, the password is explain.
Oh my gosh, last night I stayed up a little bit late and watched the new Price is Right with Drew Carey.
Ooh.
It was awesome.
I didn't even realize it was on in prime time.
It was on in prime time and they were doing a special Win a Million Bucks episode.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, you know, I loved that game show as a child. I loved Bob Barker, not even as a child, as a teen. I watched all the reruns and it was just
no,
so
no
cool.
Reruns.
They weren't in reruns?
Yeah,
it was just him getting older?
Getting whiter and whiter and the dogs get
and Janice
more and more
kept
spayed.
Getting more and more plastic surgery.
Me and my sister used to watch The Price is Right in our homes on Long Island, and we'd climb on the couch, and when the announcer, Johnny Olson, for most of the run, would say, a new car, we'd jump off the couch, because that was the greatest. And the biggest letdown was a grandfather clock. That would just kill our
and
tiny
souls. Last night,
souls.
The first contestant won a new car.
A new car!
And we went to go kiss her on the cheek, like Bob Barker would do, and she didn't even know it was coming, and she was just kind of freaking out, and Drew's like,
What's your favorite pricing game?
My favorite, Plinko.
That's my second favorite. My favorite is, hoo-dee-dee-doo-dee-doo, you know, the mountain climber guy.
Yeah, I remember that guy. Clearly, there's a whole breakout segment we could do on this.
If I was on, I would just say $1 million just to watch the guy plunge off the cliff. It's so cool.
Okay, we're not actually going to talk about The Price is Right anymore on the show. We're going to talk about all kinds of other things, though.
Take a turn for the serious.
Some actual breaking news. The U.S. warships carrying aid to Myanmar have turned around today. They were sick and tired of waiting for permission from the military junta in Myanmar to deliver that aid. We're also getting word, though, this morning that some French aid is getting through. We'll get you caught up on all this still unfolding humanitarian disaster there.
And sticking in the same place, but going back to an earlier time, we'll talk with the author of a new book that chronicles the World War II manhunt of a soldier named Herman Perry. The military tracked him through the jungles of Burma, and the name of the book is Now the Hell Will Start. It's coming up.
And an ode to a New York institution, the 24-hour restaurant Florent, is closing after 23 years in business. I actually went there last weekend. It was great. It's packed. I'm not going to tell. It was late. We'll have a preview of a video story on our site about that restaurant. We'll get the day's news headlines in just a minute. But first,
5 men accused of planning and implementing the 9/11 attacks will be arraigned today before a military tribunal at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Among them, the alleged mastermind of the attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who will appear in public for the first time in more than 5 years.
The men are charged with 2,973 counts of murder, one for each victim in New York City, Washington, D.C., and Shankville, Pennsylvania. If they're convicted, the accused all face the death penalty.
These are the highest value detainees that the U.S. has brought before this military tribunal system, which was created specifically to prosecute suspected terrorists at Guantanamo Bay. Previous prosecutions have been wrought with delays, legal controversies, and trips to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's largely because the military court doesn't follow the same rules as a regular federal court.
Air Force Brigadier General Tom Hartman is legal counsel for the trials. He describes what will happen today.
You'll see 5 accused who are going to be there with 18 defense counsel. It's going to be an amazing reflection on the American system of justice.
But others aren't so sanguine. Stacey Sullivan from Human Rights Watch says the problem with a military tribunal is that the results could be tainted.
The commissions allow evidence that is tainted by torture and other abuse to be admissible in court. And they don't allow the defendants necessarily to see all the evidence against them. If you were to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in a federal court, you wouldn't have any doubt about the integrity of the process.
The military has tried several lower-value detainees through these tribunals, reportedly to work out the kinks in the system. Now they're going for the alleged 9/11 plotters, and some people are worried that the political pressure is forcing them to move too quickly.
Jeffrey Atticott is a former senior Pentagon advisor to the military commissions. NPR asked him whether politics was a factor in the timing of these prosecutions.
My answer is duh. I mean, we're at war, and war involves political issues from the executive branch. The executive branch should have a very active role in deciding who is a war criminal, who's going to be prosecuted, and that's perfectly legitimate.
But Eugene Fidel, president of the National Institute for Military Justice, isn't as comfortable with executive branch involvement.
I think the administration is sparing no effort to get these cases, the big cases, underway before a new administration takes office. In other words, I think the effort now is to make these cases irretrievable so that a new administration's hands would be tied as to how the cases would have to move forward.
You can go to NPR.org throughout the day for updates on this story. Now let's get more of the day's news headlines with the BBP's Mark Garrison.